Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Nasdaq Dorsey Wright podcast for the week ending on May 13th. My name is Ian Saunders, and joining us as well today is Joseph Pezzullo. And because we are coming into some pretty negative movement, at least at the time of this recording on this Thursday afternoon, recording this podcast on Thursday afternoon. And with that, with the podcast coming out on Friday morning, the morning of Friday the 13th. So rather apt that we're seeing some negative movement heading into this Friday the 13th. But this movement has seen some pretty notable weakness, and pretty notable breakdowns of some support levels for many of the major indices, including the S&P 500. So I'm going to kick things off and looking at the kind of longer-term 50-point chart of the S&P 500 index. We've seen that chart now give two consecutive sell signals toward the end of April and now in May as well. So we did sell some negative movement, obviously, throughout the first 3 months of the year, popped back higher and toward the end of the month of March, ultimately topped out at chart level of 4,600 before swinging lower in the month of April and now May as well. We broke a first sell signal at the 4,150 level back at April, and then with movement over the course of the past week, we've seen the 50-point chart break another double bottom and chart level of 4,050, and then with movement today, that 50-point chart of the S&P is falling down to a chart level of 3,900 at the time of this recording, which is bumping right up against that longer-term bullish support line, that positive trend line on the 50-point chart, which has been in place since April of 2020. So pretty notable support that we're seeing coming up here for that 50-point chart. We got support at the 3850 point with that trend line. We also see some further support that's offered in there at 3750 and then also 3700. So that 3700 to 3850 level is going to be some pretty notable support coming in there for the S&P. But we haven't seen many notable support levels slow things up all that much over the course of the past couple months, really. And the thing that Joseph and I were talking about before hopping on the podcast here, we should also note that the S&P is now getting into pretty heavily oversold territory. We're seeing a weekly overbought, oversold level, at least at the time of this recording, of negative 115%. So 115% oversold here on this Thursday afternoon, which is going to mark very washed out levels for that main core equity market index. We haven't seen levels this low for quite some time, really going all the way back until March of 2020 was the last time the S&P was beneath negative 100% on an overbought oversold perspective. So pretty washed out territory. We've seen a lot of stuff coming out over the course of the past week or so. A lot of the research that we've been putting out, talking about things that haven't happened since 2020, right? Haven't happened in some instances, many years before that. So this is definitely a very kind of historic downturn that we've seen. Certainly a historic environment with equities and bonds both dropping lower at the same time. So we always feel it's helpful in terms of looking at the current environment, looking at how that relates to history, to take a look at some of the participation readings that we have available on the platform. And so we have a variety of different participation indicators following different kind of indices or universes. But we're going to dive into a couple of those this week, taking a look first at some near-term participation readings that are showing very washed out territory, and then taking a look at some more intermediate, longer-term readings that aren't quite showing the same picture that you might expect. So I think, Joseph, we're diving into first that NYSE high-low indicator is one of the more near-term indicators that we have, and it's showing a lot of the same things that we're seeing from that weekly overbought oversold perspective, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, we're seeing this indicator at pretty washed out levels. It's at 6% right now. For reference, the low in 2020 was 2%, and the low at the end of 2018 was also 2%. So you have a little bit more room you could go, but we typically are. I mean, we would classify this as washed out territory. And we did run a piece in the report a couple of days ago referencing the returns once you get to these types of levels upon a reversal up into a column of X's on these charts to kind of confirm that we've put a bottom in. And one of the important aspects of this whole indicator is waiting for that reversal back up. So we found that waiting for the reversal back up has been beneficial for the most part. You're not really missing too many of the returns from that just first reversal back up into a column of X's. So that's, you know, really important to keep in mind. You don't want to be catching that, you know, proverbial falling knife. You really want to wait until you kind of confirm that you've put a bottom in and, you know, maybe risk is a little bit more favorable from those washed out territories once the panic starts to subside just a little bit within the markets. Of course, you're still going to want to stick with areas, sectors, things like that, that still have high relative strength. You're not going to be buying the stuff that, you know, has really gotten completely destroyed and is showing really weak relative strength. We won't get too much into the sector rankings today, but, you know, you look at technology, for example, it's fallen quite a bit in the Dolly rankings. It's fallen, it's fairly low on the asset class group scores page as well. So that's probably an area, while it has been beaten up, pretty heavily compared to a lot of other sectors, it's not one that you're going to be wanting to jump in and buy for this short-term bounce. You're going to be wanting to buy the sectors that have pulled back and still hold high relative strength. You know, right now, it's going to be the more defensive areas like staples, utilities, things like that, still holding in positive trends, have high tech attributes and that whole deal. But from a short-term perspective, like Ian said, we are getting to extremely washed out territory on a lot of these shorter term indicators. I would like to put an emphasis on short term indicators that we're seeing washed out. And, you know, if you are looking to put some money to work in those strong sectors, you would really want to wait for that reversal back up on that NYSE high low indicator. But, you know, when you look at it from an intermediate to a longer term perspective, there's still a little bit more room to fall, especially if you're looking at something like the BPNYSE, right, Ian?
Yeah, certainly. And I mean, I think that room to fall is definitely an important point to note. I mean, like you said, if you're looking to put money to work, if you're looking to take advantage of some of these pullbacks or declines, I mean, there are still strong areas that we're seeing in the market. Like you said, that strength is just really narrowing, right? And I mean, you can see that in looking at that kind of more intermediate term picture from the bullish percent for the NYSE. BP NYSE is going to be the ticker there on the platform. So unlike the NYSE high low, which is a near-term indicator measuring the percentage of names making a new 52-week high relative to those making any extreme, a new 52-week high or low, the BPNYSE is looking at the percentage of stocks, and in this case, the New York Stock Exchange, that's trading on a point figure buy signal. So that current reading has fallen down to a reading of 28%, which is low. So we do have, I mean, what is that? 72% of the names in the NYSE are trading on a sell signal. That's not a good sign, right? But it has been lower. It's been lower most of the other times that we've seen a major decline or a major sell-off in the broader equity market. I mean, everyone's going back to the 2020 environment, right? The BP NYSE in 2020 fell down to a reading of 6% before it reversed back up into a column of X's. Even if you go back to 2018, we got to a low of 16% before it reversed higher, which is almost half the point that we're at now. So another half the names that were trading on a bicycle now would need to move to a sell signal for that to move lower. And so I think that's an important point to note too, with some of these intermediate and these longer term indicators, that just because they're washed out doesn't mean they can't move lower. And we've seen a lot of these that have moved lower in prior declines. And when they move lower from these levels, I mean, it's just going to feel that much worse because you're already at washed out territory. It's going to take some further significant weakness to get these things lower, and that weakness is going to feel a lot worse because we've already had so much weakness throughout this year. But I think it's also important to look back and look at some historical timeframes to see, I mean, when we did get reversals up from these levels for stuff like the BP and YC, I mean, it wasn't always the first time. And you can certainly see that displayed on the NYSE high-low index. I mean, you look back at 2018, you look back at the end of 2015 and 2016, certainly throughout the 2008 to 2009 environment, it wasn't the first reversal up on that NYC high low that ultimately carried us all the way back up to higher levels. And you see some of that reflected on the BP NYC as well. The past couple times that it has happened, I mean, you're looking at March 2020 and the end of 2018 environment, when we fell beneath 20 and reversed back up into a column of X's, it did ultimately continue to move higher from there. And that was that at least market bottom at that time. Also happened in 2016 and in 2011. But looking back towards the 2008-2009 environment, wasn't that first reversal up from the kind of extreme washed out territory that ultimately carried us higher? So that's an important point to keep in mind And when we're looking at, we're talking about several different indicators here today, and the general theme you want to think towards is that theme of confirmation, right? I mean, you want to see confirmation from your near term to your intermediate term to your long-term indicators before really feeling confident and cemented that a move is moving higher from there. I mean, so seeing this on the BPNYC, I mean, we're down at 28%, can certainly move lower. It might tick a bit lower with movement this afternoon. But looking back towards that 20% level is really going to be an important line in the sand to monitor here moving forward. If we do get lower from there, the prior four times we've crossed beneath that 20% threshold, and reversed higher have been at least at the bottom at that particular point in time. But it's been a little bit of a different story, at least a little bit more extreme movement if you get more focused on some of these indicators. So while you have the high lows and you have the BPs and you're talking about the short term to your immediate term, if you look at a more focused inventory, you tend to see some pretty some more extreme or at least more frequent movement on some of these indicator charts, which is the case for some of the S&P 500 indicators there, Joseph, right?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the BPSPX, we've seen this thing make a couple of round trips this year. Really, the big one was earlier this year where we saw a lot of the weakness in January. We saw a pretty big sell-off at that point in time, not as severe as we see it now, but we did see it sell off when we were, around 4,800 or so, and we fell all the way down around 4,150 or something like that. And we saw that BPSPX go from 72% all the way down to 32%. And then we finally found a footing, had a pretty big rally, saw that go all the way back up to 74% and then fall all the way back down. And now we've taken out those February and March lows on that BPSPX chart. We see that charting right now at 26%. I would imagine that heads a little bit lower today as well. But if we look through history, we can also see this, like the BPNYSC, can carve out a range much lower. For example, in 2020, we see that got down to 2%. And in 2018, that got down all the way to 14%. And like Ian mentioned, you can get some chop at the bottom of these. Typically, when you get to these BP levels where it's extremely low, we've run a couple of studies on this, volatility is going to be higher just by nature. So you're going to get, you know, some volatility still. It doesn't necessarily mean just because you get the washed out and you reverse up that everything's all good. You still are going to have to be, you know, cognizant of the heightened volatility usually we see at these levels. Nonetheless, you know, you still have some room to fall on here. And if you look at the, you know, the S&P 500, the cap weighted index, of course, this indicator is going to be more equal weighted in nature. It's going to take every single stock gets a single vote, essentially. Where if we look at the S&P 500, the one everyone's using, you know, you have, you know, your big mega cap stocks that carry a wide weight there within the index. And it's important to keep track of those. Really, you know, Apple and Tesla for most of the year, it actually held up relatively well. They were kind of being able to hold up the market during these periods where we saw a lot of weakness, but they always kind of consistently held above support or were able to stay in positive trends and things like that, which were always something that we could lean on in the market. But really this most recent sell-off, we've seen that change a little bit. I know Apple's taken out its pretty big support level at 152. For example. And then we also saw Tesla take out a few levels of support and I believe move to a negative trend as well. And if you look at the performance for both of those over the last 7 days, you know, Apple's down almost 12% over the last 7 days, although it's only down 17.5% for the year. Well, I say only, but majority of that drawdown has happened over the last week. We see something similar with Tesla here. That's down almost 23% over the last week, where if you look at the whole year, that's down 30%. So a lot of that huge drawdown for those mega caps that were helping buoy the market a little bit through some of the weakness have just gotten taken out completely, which you could look at it maybe as a good sign or a bad sign, who knows. But we do know those mega caps are starting to really, really, really struggle over the last week. And, you know, we've seen that reflected with this bullish percent continuing to head lower on this chart and breaking through those February lows. But even when we expand out, so the bullish percents I would classify as an intermediate term type of indicator. If we zoom out even further on our time frame horizon and started looking at the positive trend indicators, you know, we still see that, you know, there's still a lot of concern aside, we may see a short-term bounce, as we mentioned, but a lot of those long-term indicators like the PTNYSE and the PT and PTSPX are, you know, still have some room below them that they could fall, right, Ian?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, we see, like we touched on the high lows, I mean, they're washed out, touched on the bullish percentage, which we hit on both of those looking at. I mean, there is still room to move further south, or at least they had been further south in prior declines. And that's certainly reflected on the longer term perspective as well. So that PT, ticker carrot, PTSPX on the platform, the percent positive trend for the S&P 500. Again, a percentage-based indicator, in this case, measuring the percentage of stocks that are trading in an overall positive trend on their default charts. That's fallen to a level of 42%. So we got to a level of 48% in March, swung a little bit higher towards the end of March with that equity rally, and then fell back down to a chart level of 42%, which is the lowest level we've seen since 2020. So looking at prior times, I mean, the 2020 level got down to 8% before it reversed higher in April. And the end of 2018, this indicator got down to 30% before it reversed higher in January of 2019. Even in looking at 2016, this got down to 36% before reverse higher. So even though we are low, we're lower than we were earlier this year, and we're the lowest we've been in a couple of years. I mean, we have certainly seen this indicator push notably further south, especially in some of these broad market declines. And so, I mean, in looking at the broader market picture, we're seeing the S&P 500, I mean, brush up against some pretty notable support levels. We're getting pretty close to a 20% decline from all-time highs, which is that classic kind of bear market territory environment that you typically consider. And if we do ultimately enter a bear market, right, I mean, there's certainly the potential for these indicators to fall much further south before they swing higher. So I think the point that Joseph mentioned, that it is now is not the time to be trying to catch a falling knife, is certainly a very apt description of the market. And like we said, there's still strength that we see going on. Most of that's going to be in those commodity focused areas, like Joseph said, the energy, the basic materials space, and some of the value names have been holding up significantly better as well, which also includes many representatives from some of those sectors. But now is definitely not the time to be trying to jump in and add exposure on a potential kind of swing upwards day, because it's unlikely that we're going to see multiple consecutive down days and then multiple consecutive up days moving forward from there. Kind of everyone thinks of that 2020 environment. We were straight down and straight back up. Well, that's certainly not always the case, not usually the case, right? I mean, it's usually a lot of volatility that we see baked into there, and a lot of volatility when these indicators get down to washed out conditions. So, I mean, there's definitely a lot of movement potentially that we can see going on there, and we're continuing to keep you all updated with any movement that we're seeing, whether it's through this podcast, through the weekly videos that we put out on Wednesdays, or through the report that we publish there each and every day, our daily market report, daily equity market analysis report. So, Tuz, I think that wraps up most of what we were looking to cover here, at least this afternoon, at least for now. I'm sure there'll be no shortage of movement for us to talk about the next time we're jumping in here on the podcast. I do want to make a quick note on that point. We are going to be taking a week break from the podcast, so we are looking forward to seeing hopefully some of y'all listening for our spring symposium out in Las Vegas next week. But because of that spring symposium, we are not going to be doing a podcast next week. So we'll see you back in 2 weeks with no shortage of stuff to talk about then. So Joseph, thank you again for joining us here. Thank you all very much for listening, and we will talk to you all in a couple weeks.